Chapter 9. Ah, Miss Swancourt. Dearest Elfie, we heard you. Are you going to stay here? You are our little mama, are you not? Our big mama is gone to London, apostrophe said one. Let me kiss you, apostrophe said the other, in appearance very much like the first, but to a smaller pattern. Their pink cheeks and yellow hair were speedily intermingled with the folds of Elfright's dress. She then stooped, and tenderly embraced them both. Such an odd thing, apostrophe said Elfride, smiling, and turning to Stephen. They have taken it into their heads lately, to call me little mama, because I am very fond of them, and wore a dress the other day something like one of Lady Luxellian's. Apostrophe, apostrophe, these two young creatures were the Honorable Mary, and the Honorable Kate, scarcely appearing large enough as yet to bear the weight of such ponderous prefixes. They were the only two children of Lord and Lady Luxellian, and, as it proved, had been left at home during their parents' temporary absence, in the custody of nurse and governess. Lord Luxellian was dotingly fond of the children, rather indifferent towards his wife, since she had begun to show an inclination not to please him by giving him a boy. All children instinctively ran after Elfride, looking upon her more as an unusually nice large specimen of their own tribe than as a grown-up elder. It had now become an established rule that whenever she met them indoors or out of doors, weekdays or Sundays, they were to be severally pressed against her face and bosom for the space of a quarter of a minute, and otherwise made much of on the delightful system of cumulative epithet and caress to which unpracticed girls will occasionally abandon themselves. A look of misgiving by the youngsters towards the door by which they had entered directed attention to a maid servant appearing from the same quarter, to put an end to this sweet freedom of the poor honorables Mary and Kate. I wish you lived here, Miss Swancourt, apostrophe piped one like a melancholy bullfinch. So do I, apostrophe piped the other like a rather more melancholy bullfinch. Mama can't play with us so nicely as you do. I don't think she ever learned playing when she was little. When shall we come to see you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, as soon as you like, dears. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and sleep at your house all night? That's what I mean, by coming to see you. I don't care to see people with hats and bonnets on, and all standing up and walking about. Apostrophe, apostrophe, as soon as we can get Mama's permission you shall come, and stay as long as ever you like. Goodbye. Apostrophe, the prisoners were then led off, Elfride again turning her attention to her guest, whom he had left standing at the remote end of the gallery. On looking around for him, he was nowhere to be seen. Elfride stepped down to the library, thinking he might have rejoined her father there. But Mr. Swancourt, now cheerfully illuminated by a pair of candles, was still alone untying packets of letters and papers, and tying them up again. As Elfride did not stand on a sufficiently intimate footing with the object of her interest to justify her, as a proper young lady, to commence the active search for him that youthful impulsiveness prompted, and as, nevertheless, for a nascent reason connected with those divinely cut lips of his, she did not like him to be absent from her side, she wandered desultorily back to the oak staircase, pouting and casting her eyes about in hope of discerning his boyish figure. Though daylight still prevailed in the rooms, the corridors were in a depth of shadow chill, sad, and silent, and it was only by looking along them towards light spaces, beyond that anything or anybody could be discerned there. One of these light spots she found to be caused by a side door with glass panels in the upper part. Elfride opened it, and found herself confronting a secondary inner lawn, separated from the principal lawn front by a shrubbery. And now she saw a perplexing sight. At right angles to the face of the wing as he had emerged from, and within a few feet of the door, jutted out another wing of the mansion, lower and with less architectural character. Immediately opposite to her, in the wall of this wing, was a large broad window, having its blind drawn down, and illuminated by a light in the room it screened. On the blind, was a shadow from somebody close inside of a person in profile. The profile was unmistakably that of Stephen. It was just possible to see that his arms were uplifted, and that his hands held an article of some kind. Then another shadow appeared also in profile, and came close to him. This was the shadow of a woman. She turned her back towards Stephen. He lifted and held out what now proved to be a shawl, or mantle, placed it carefully around the lady, disappeared, reappeared in her front, fastened the mantle. Did he then kiss her? Surely not. Yet the motion might have been a kiss. Then both shadows swelled to colossal dimensions, grew distorted, vanished. 2 minutes elapsed. Ah, Miss Swankert. I am so glad to find you. I was looking for you, apostrophe said a voice at her elbow, Stephen's voice. She stepped into the passage. Do you know any of the members of this establishment? Apostrophe said she. Not a single one. How should I? Apostrophe he replied. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.